against the Commissioner of Internal Revenue. Mr. Rogers.
May it please the Court. I'm John Rogers, representing the appellants in this case. Basic position of appellants is that Portfolio Properties / Jetstream received cash as an agent for Warwick on an accrual basis of accounting. That respondent has agreed to that.
Now, the tax court found that you received the money from PPI, not from Warwick.
Well,
is that clearly erroneous?
I did receive money from PPI. Yes.
What was the purpose of having you hold that money in trust rather than PPI holding it?
Because I wasn't anticipating as PPI receiving the money, Your Honor. The Agresti law firm sent it in by wire. The wires weren't necessarily identified as to who they were from, other than the Agresti firm.
Well, you want to clarify that, but why would you want to put it in your name as in a trust? It seems odd.
Simply because 2003 was a year of terrible confusion and overload for me personally, in terms of my former firm, Altheimer & Gray, went broke. I joined Safearth.
Why not leave the money in PPI?
Leave the money in PPI. The tax court made two findings, not only that the money came from PPI, but also that you commingled it with your other assets. Is there any clear error in that?
No, that is...
Okay, you're a lawyer. You receive money that you say is money held in trust.
Yes.
A finding that you commingled it with your personal assets is the clearest breach of trust one can imagine.
No,
now, the tax court had to decide whether you were in breach of trust or whether this was really personal money, and it found it was really personal money. Now, you'd think a lawyer would be happy to pay the tax rather than have the tax court find that you were the kind of person who breaches a trust.
Well, Your Honor, I did not breach a trust.
If you commingled it with your personal assets and you had the money in trust, that's a clear violation of trust law as one can imagine.
Your Honor, the PPI and I personally had advanced the capital to start the business in Brazil, and it wasn't clear at the end of 2003 exactly how much belonged to Warwick and how much belonged to PPI and I to pay back those advances. I was not in a position to set up a separate trust account, and I did include it in PPI's income and some of it in my income because I wasn't able to determine the status at the end of 2003. It was too muddled, and that's why I needed 2004 in the case to show that I wasn't commingling funds, that these funds were properly accounted for. And I was specifically aware of the requirement of a lawyer not to commingle funds, and that's why I reported it in income. I didn't want to be suspect as not reporting income. In 2004, the IRS changed its tack. They said, no, I was just an agent of Warwick. And... was Warwick's money. In the Superior case, the money was reported as funds of Warwick, not as my funds. So in the situation, I had to make some decisions quickly. In Michigan,
is there a trust instrument?
No, Your Honor. In 2004, I was able to clear that up so that it was clear that the purchase price of the holding company was 6%. Everything went to Warwick or its successor, Jetstream. In 2003...
Can you create a trust without an instrument? I mean, the law, you know, imposes constructive trust and so on.
Sure.
That's different.
Well, look at it this way,
Your
Honor.
You make your own constructive trust.
If you were representing Warwick, it would be clear, hands down, that PPI and eventually I held the money under an impressed trust for Warwick. And I never disagree with.
I don't understand the impressed trust.
Well, an agent of Warwick, I have money in their hands. I have money, their money in my hands. It has to be held subject to a trust.
No, trust could be, it could be stolen. And then, you know, a constructive trust can be impressed. But you don't say, well, I don't have a trust instrument, so I'm going to just say it's in trust.
I didn't do that, Your Honor. I reported any cash that was received by PPI or I in income. I anticipated if the IRS audited
it. In your personal income? You reported everything that PPI received as personal income to you?
Yes.
Well,
it was in my hands.
I mean,
it was in my hands. And I just remembered treasure trove. So you better report it as income. I'm a lawyer. You know, you better report it as income. But
if J.P. Morgan Chase receives, you know, $10 million for something, can the CEO reported as personal income?
No, I did that solely so that there was no claim that I had income I didn't report.
I know, but
simple.
What wasn't your income? Was PPI's? I don't get it.
Well, I didn't know what to do. I had a hot potato. I had this cash in my hands.
Well, could you ask a lawyer what you should do?
Ask a tax lawyer.
Mm-hmm. I know you have a lot of expertise, but if you're baffled by a problem, why wouldn't you take it to a lawyer? Get a lot of protection by doing that, of course.
Yes. Well, let me...
But anyway, that's... you don't have to
I didn't.
That.
I just didn't right. think of it. I had other things going on, and I knew I was holding it for the benefit of Warwick, and it had to be sorted out as to what was should be repayment of advances to start the business versus going to Warwick. And if one were to comprehensively review the record, you would find that the money came in generally at the end of 2003. And in 2004, I went through that sorting out.
You say you reported this as personal income, did you pay income tax on it?
Yes.
But when
Well, I figured that when I picked it up as income to protect myself from attack by the IRS, and that when I would then pay those items out in 2004, they would be deductible or excluded from income. It was just a timing difference. I didn't dwell on Section 461, which says you don't necessarily have to pick that up in income. I didn't dwell on Michigan retailers, where they got 3 years to set up a trust, and they're a large organization with a legal staff. was I and a secretary. So that was the decision I made. I didn't think of it as anything irrevocable. And I think I've run out of time here.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
My rebuttal.
Del Sol.
May it please the court. The tax court did not clearly err here by any means in holding that this entire $1,190,500 that Mr. Rogers kept out of what was kept in PPI or distributed to himself out of what came from the investor funds was income to him. It was either flow-through income from his S-corporation PPI to the extent PPI retained it, or to the extent that there were distributions to him, it was income to him. And I think, as he admitted, he didn't set up any trust instrument. There was no evidence in the record of any fiduciary obligation. And certainly, I think if you hold items in trust, even if something prevents you from getting the trust documents drafted, at the very least, segregation of the funds would be called for. Certainly, anyone with a legal background would recognize if money is actually received in trust that you segregate those funds. But he didn't set up any escrow. He didn't even go down to the bank and say, I want to set up a separate account. He put the money, in the first instance, in PPI's account, and an account where he paid things like his PPI's American Express bill, personal expenses for himself like clothes, video rentals, and all that's apparent from the ledger of that account for Exhibit 20J. His statements this morning that some of that money was money that was owed to him from the setup is something that there's nothing in the record about at all. There's nothing about how he outlaid money for the start of Warwick or the start of any endeavors in Brazil and then was entitled to reimbursements. He didn't keep any ledgers that show that. And so the tax court certainly did not clearly err in concluding that money was money, PPI's money. And so under Section 1366 of the code, that S-corporation income, to the extent it wasn't distributed or wasn't subject to deductions, flows through to Mr. Rogers and is properly taxed to him. Part of that money was distributed to him. $732,000 was actually distributed to him. $513,000 of that was reported on his own return as fees for legal services. And PPI took a corresponding deduction indicating that it had received legal services. And he stipulated in the stipulation of settled issues that money was money that was income to him. And the tax court didn't abuse its discretion in not disturbing those settled issues because he raised his argument that he didn't mean to settle that issue at the 11th hour after the party's pretrial briefs had been filed. But in any event, if anybody pays money to you for legal services and you get paid for that, then it's his income. I mean, even if PPI held it in trust and it paid him for legal services for the benefit of Warwick, which is not something that happened, still it would be his income. So clearly that part is his income. And then the remaining distribution was simply distributed to him. It was placed in his personal account that he shared with his wife, the joint account, and commingled there. And I think on that record, there's no indication other than that it was a distribution from an S corporation to a shareholder. And the tax court correctly held that Section 1368 applies, which says that where there's a distribution of cash or assets from an S corporation to its shareholder, to do a calculation based on the corporation's accumulated earnings and the shareholder's basis, which the parties did in a agreed computation, and that the computation is not in dispute. So I think for all those different reasons, both the S corporation income that flowed through to him and the money that was distributed to him is his income. On brief, he confuses this case with superior trading and raises a lot of TEFRA partnership jurisdictional issues. I think none of those have any merit whatsoever. This is clearly an S-corporation case. There's a $2,381,000 that was received in from investors. Half of it went to Brazil, as we've discussed earlier, and then the other half was simply kept in PPI's account, commingled with PPI's other funds, or distributed to Rogers, and all that is income to him under Subchapter S, and there's no reason to reach any partnership issues here. If there are no further questions for the court, I have nothing further. Are there any other questions from the court? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Del Sol. Anything further, Mr. Rogers?
Yes, Your Honor.
May it please the court. I have several further items. Respondent refers to personal items. Well, that's because I borrowed money on those same credit cards to fund the startup of the business in Brazil. So, of course, there's going to be personal items on the credit card statement. There's nothing in the record because the tax court wouldn't allow me to produce and introduce what happened in 2004, and both I and PPI were accrual basis taxpayers, and we're entitled to show in 2004 what happened at the end of 2003, and I think it was clear error to exclude that 2004 information as the tax court did. In her brief, respondent says, well, there was no offer of proof. On the first dispute on introducing schedules, there was an offer of proof, and in the second one, the situation was such in the courtroom that it would have been useless to suggest another offer of proof. And I think respondent has to show not only that I was in possession, but not to rely on my voluntary income reporting, but to show in that situation what the economic benefit to me was, because there wasn't any. The same income that PPI reported was reported in the Superior case as revenue of Superior, and the IRS accepted that. So to now come and say it's the same income to me again, I believe is just the type of inconsistency which respondents should not be allowed to undertake. In the Bulwer case, the taxpayer was allowed to recharacterize dividends as not dividends, and I believe I'm entitled to the same relief in this case. There were no distributions. Respondent keeps saying there were distributions from PPI. In the stipulation, all that was stipulated to was that PPI paid an amount of money to me, and that amount was subject to determination in the court as to whether it was income or not. And the IRS has even put out a TAM, to which I refer in the brief, that in Section 461, the time of transaction, you're entitled to accrue that liability. And in the brief, I point out that PPI had $750,000 of liabilities. It had $250,000 it had advanced to Warwick on its balance sheet. And these, when you go to Glenshaw Glass.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.